Welcome, everyone, to a very special edition of the Cannabis Community Chat. I'm Russ Belville, and we all woke up this morning to the news of the passing of an icon in American society, Hugh Hefner, the founder of Playboy, who passed away at the Playboy Mansion at the age of 91. Now, you may be asking yourself, why are we going into detail about Hugh Hefner, the founder of Playboy, when this is the marijuana agenda? Well, I'll tell you, Hugh Hefner had a whole lot to do with this show actually existing in a long and roundabout way. And here to help explain the history behind Hugh Hefner and marijuana, we have one of his friends, the founder of Normal, Keith Straup, is joining us from Virginia by telephone. Hello, Keith.
Hello, Russ. Nice to be with you.
So glad to have you here, although I wish it was under better conditions. You were interviewed in Playboy magazine, and even before that, Playboy had a whole lot to do with the founding of Normal. Give our listeners a little look back into the early 1970s and how Hugh Hefner helped you get to where you are.
Yes, indeed. When I had first founded Normal, and I had consulted with a few people here in Washington, including former Attorney General Ramsey Clark and a couple of others, I had not yet found any funding for the project. We had filed the papers, and Normal was in existence, but we didn't have any budget, so we didn't have, you know, we weren't able to do much, and I was spending most of my time looking around for money. And Ramsey Clark was, I think, the person that recommended that I should probably apply to the Playboy Foundation. Ramsey had been interviewed by Playboy earlier, and while he obviously was a serious guy and probably not someone most Playboy readers were expecting to see interviewed, Ramsey said when he traveled around the country, even though he's a former attorney general and he published several books, when people came up to him to talk to him, more than any other source, they had learned about him because of his interview in Playboy magazine. So at any event, I took Ramsey's suggestion. I sent off a proposal to the Playboy Foundation. I didn't even realize I had one at the time. And to my surprise, over a period of a few weeks, they sent a person out from Chicago to meet with me and find out a little bit more about Normal. And before long, I had been invited to a Playboy Foundation board meeting in Chicago to meet with Hef personally and the rest of the board members. And that led to a long-time relationship. They ended up giving us a small grant. The first one was $5,000, I think, but very quickly they gave us another five. And then very quickly we got on a trend where they were giving us roughly about $100,000 a year, which was a lot back in 72 and 73. And they were giving us two full-page ads in the magazine where we could solicit membership and supporters. So I have to tell you that, but for Hugh Hefner, I'm not positive that Normal would have become the presence it has become in the reform movement. We might have never made it to the point where legalization was a political option. But because of Hef's support, we were the primary organization working for legalization all during the 1970s. Now, later in the 80s and 90s, and subsequently, it was High Times Magazine that was our primary financial supporter. But in the 70s, it was primarily Playboy.
So moving past the 1970s and even the support for Normal and the advertising within the magazine, Hefner did present what he called his Playboy philosophy. And while it did mostly center on the sexual revolution that was occurring at the time, he was also a trailblazer with respect to civil rights, not just the right to consume cannabis or other drugs, but also the actual civil rights movement with respect to the segregation that was happening and being cured or being relieved during those times. Let's talk a little bit about that and how Playboy magazine helped to support philosophically what Normal was up to beyond the 1970s.
Well, there's no doubt about it. Anyone who has met or spent any time with Hefner learns pretty quickly that despite the fact that the magazine is known for its nude centerfolds and stuff, he's a very serious-minded guy, and he cared very much about public policy. And civil rights was one of his priority issues. He was good friends with and supported many of the civil rights activists during the the 60s and 70s and beyond. And he cared very much about personal freedom. It was both a personal issue with him and a political issue. I think most of the things he fought for in his mind probably fell into that category of an area where the government had no business to interfere. And certainly that was true with marijuana. By the way, a little aside here, like most of us, when Hef was younger, he had drank some alcohol and had spent some time as an alcohol drinker, I should say. I don't think he ever was a heavy drinker. But at some point, he just decided it didn't work for him. And so he quit drinking alcohol altogether. And by the time I met him in 71, he would sit around and sip on a Diet Pepsi, I think is what he used to drink. But he was, in fact, personally a marijuana smoker for all of those years. And I actually have had a friend, she's no longer alive, but she was Hefner's personal assistant for all of the 70s and beyond. And one of her jobs was that she had to make sure there were a box full of carefully rolled joints sitting at the head of Hefner's bed. And she did a good job of that for many, many years.
Well, well done. The legacy of Playboy magazine, of course, will live on. His son Cooper is now involved. His daughter Christy had run the organization for a long time. As we continue moving forward through the 21st century, we're seeing, you know, cannabis be legalized, medicalized in many places. Does Playboy still offer the support that they'd had in the past? Are we seeing, you know, articles and interviews in the magazine still that are positive on the cannabis issue?
Well, I will say this. There was a time, certainly in the 70s, 80s, when the section in the magazine called the Playboy Forum was incredibly helpful to those of us who were working on drug law reform and trying to get marijuana prisoners out of jail, et cetera. I know this morning I exchanged notes with three or four lawyers from the Normal Legal Committee, and we were all reminiscing about cases where, because of their willingness to hop on an airplane and go meet with somebody in some prison in Texas or prison in Oklahoma or Missouri, and because Playboy would send a photographer to cover what we were doing, we were able to get a number of people out of prison who were serving, in one case, it was serving a life sentence, someone Jerry Goldstein got out. And they were all commenting that they doubted they would have had such success without the support and the coverage that Playboy magazine gave. Now, I'll be honest, I haven't followed the magazine so closely in the last several years. I've just been preoccupied with other things. So I don't know how they are currently covering marijuana prisoners, for example, marijuana lifers, et cetera. But I can tell you that during the early years, that was a major focus of the magazine. And so anytime we needed to get national exposure on an egregious situation, they were available if we provided them appealing facts. And of course, there were all too many victims at the time, so it was easy to hand them cases that were attractive.
On a cultural note, Playboy magazine, you know, the long-running joke was, I read it for the articles, but indeed there were some amazing articles, amazing writers, both fiction and nonfiction, and of course, interviews and reviews of musicians and art. How much did that play into, you know, the cannabis culture, which of course is so rich with music and art? How much of the Playboy legacy with respect to the non-nude pictures did you have an affinity for?
Well, frankly, although obviously there must have been a time in my life, like most young men, I probably had a copy of Playboy magazine under my mattress or something, but that was a long time ago. By the time I actually got to know Hefner and the Playboy organization, I was totally enraptured by their reach into the culture and by their ability to help shape the culture, and in particular, by their willingness to fight the battle of personal privacy, keep the government out of these areas. And also, there's another thing they did. They sort of were the first establishment group to stand up and say, there's nothing wrong with pleasure as long as you're not hurting someone else. You know, we all have a kind of a Calvinistic background where we're made to feel guilty if we enjoy ourselves. And Hefner, you know, had the common sense before most people to recognize there was a market there for people saying, wait a minute, sexuality is something that's first nature to the genius. We couldn't exist without sexuality, so why is it that we're treating it like it's something dirty or secret? And I think then he began to expand that into all forms of art, all forms of political expression, and certainly he was a real groundbreaker in terms of getting involved in support of civil rights, because back then, not everyone in the entertainment industry wanted to touch those hot-button issues. Hef was fearless about being a cultural advocate, not a cultural crusader, I think I called him, something I wrote this morning, but he really was. I think that's where he got the satisfaction he got. The sexual side of it, I'm sure he enjoyed playing that playboy role in the robe with all of the women who are 30 or 40 or 50 years younger than him around. But frankly, I mean, that was a dated thing that by the end, I think, almost a little sad to see. I felt sorry for him. But what he cared about and what kept him invigorated was the fight for personal freedom.
You know, I can recall the early years as well, at least from my perspective, when I was introduced to Shel Silverstein through a Playboy magazine, and it opened my eyes to a writer, a poet that I never would have had interface or read, you know, otherwise. So,
Can I give you a little aside about Shel Silverstein? There was only a couple of times when I actually wrote on the old Playboy bunny jet. You remember the one he used to have? And he had both a mansion in Chicago, which was the original mansion, and then he'd open the one in L.A., and he had the Playboy black bunny jet where he'd fly between the two. Well, my friend Bobby Ornstein, who in the early years was trying to make sure that I got to know Hef better, or that, more importantly, that Hef got to know B better so that he would feel more involved and normal, she called me up one time and said, why don't you come out to Chicago? And she gave me a day a couple of days later. And let's fly out to L.A. together. And I said, that sounds great. And as I got closer, I got back in touch to find out more about it. It turns out she had managed to take me on the flight with Shel Silverstein, Warren Beatty, and Hugh Hefner.
Wow.
Now, when I got on the plane, you know, I was intimidated. I'm a young public interest lawyer from Washington, D.C. I had nothing in common with these people. And sure enough, almost as if on cue, once the plane took off, they started talking about their sexual conquests and all the women they had slept with. And I had nothing to add to that conversation, you know. And so I felt strange being in that environment, but Hef was nice. I mean, he would occasionally bring the conversation back to normal, so I had something to add to the conversation. But like you, I would have never known who Shel Silverstein was, or had, let alone have a chance to meet him, but for the fact of the Playboy reach. They really involved lots and lots of fabulous people during those years.
Did you have any other...
I'm just going to add, as you know, Russ, we had a couple of Playboy mansion parties to benefit Normal in the late 70s. So, you know, in addition to his being a financial supporter through the Playboy Foundation, he also allowed us to use his house in L.A. on more than one occasion. One occasion, I remember in particular, Hunter Thompson was out there with us, and he wrecked his rent-a-car on the way to the mansion, so we had to go pick him up out and get him to the Playboy mansion. But no, there were some, we actually, I really always enjoyed spending time with Hef because he was a gentle, thoughtful man.
Wonderful. Had you any experiences at any of the Playboy clubs that existed back then?
Oh, yeah. Back when in Chicago, when I first got to know them, the Chicago Playboy Club was going strong. In fact, so was the one in England. And I think there were 20 or 30 around by that point. Now, at some point, not too many years later, the club thing, you know, went down. They all got closed. When you were staying at the Chicago mansion, and again, when I would go meet with Hef to talk about Normal, because of his friend Bobby Ornstein, she would book me a room in the Playboy mansion, And so I would be staying there. Well, there were a lot of people who worked as bunnies, I guess, at the Playboy Club, who also lived in the dormitory of the Chicago mansion. So a time or two, I'd go over to the club just to see what it was like. But again, I was really out of my element when I was in that situation. I realized that was not my strong suit.
It's like playing pickup basketball with the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I knew I was only going to make a fool of myself, so that maybe I just keep quiet.
Wow. Well, I want to thank you so much for joining us and giving us your personal recollections of the late Hugh Hefner. And it sounds weird to have to say that. It's one of those people you never thought you'd see pass away.
Yeah, that's true. He's such an iconic figure that I think none of us ever really thought about the fact that one of these days he's no longer going to be with us. I guess the fact that he lived to be 91 speaks pretty well for a man with his lifestyle.
I would say so. Keith Straub, the founder of Normal and my friend, thank you so much for joining us on the Marijuana Agenda, and I hope you have yourself a wonderful day.
Thanks, Russ.